This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Five and a half in the evening. You're with Lynn and Kelvin. And our first story is actually coming from Quartz. It's about Maslow's pyramid. A lot of us probably learned about it in school and in college. It permeates a lot of our understanding of what we want, why we work, why we buy what we buy, how people sell to us. It's just one of those things where people go, oh, is it according to Maslow? Is it about the hierarchy of needs? And yeah, it turns out, Maybe we got it all wrong.
Or it might just be outdated, or it could just be shaped by the fact that it's in the form of a pyramid. So in case you haven't seen the pyramid, it starts at the bottom with the basic needs, physiological needs, that means food, water, warmth and rest, and safety. And then we move up to psychological needs, namely belongingness and love, and then esteem needs, think prestige and accomplishment. And right up at the top of this pyramid, self-actualization, which means achieving one's full potential.
So we mentioned the pyramid because it turns out that shape was not how Maslow initially displayed his theory, which was based on the idea that humans are driven by needs that go beyond mere survival. So that's pure logic. But the way the pyramid works is it's assumed that you need to start with physiological needs before you can move on to psychological, and only then can you move on to prestige and so on. Instead, Maslow theorized that, you know, we don't necessarily need to work our way up through this hierarchy. At any given point, we might be motivated by a mix of basic and non-basic needs, which is probably more accurate, I think, to why we work. Because a person could be working to fill physiological needs, to provide a place to stay, to provide food, but also by self-actualization. It might be more than one thing at a time.
Yeah, and psychologists now are arguing that Maslow's pyramid has sort of messed with our view of work and our expectation that people are concerned with higher or lower level needs depending on their income or professional status. It gives the impression that some employees need to have their self-actualizing needs addressed and their creativity satisfied, while others are merely concerned with putting food on the table and having a place to call home.
Yeah, I guess it's the theory that some people are just worker bees. You know, some people are just content to plug away at the same job, and you don't need to try and provide some sort of fulfillment or creative satisfaction. Whereas the more atas folk are the ones where you have to ask them, are you happy? Do you have a sense of purpose? When in fact, so the argument here is perhaps it should be said that we are all motivated equally by that desire for a purpose, yeah, by that desire for belongingness, as well as money and food and all that other stuff that we need. And I thought it was really interesting because it's true that that shape of the pyramid is so ubiquitous. It's one that, you know, when you refer to Maslow, maybe not everybody can name it, but anybody who's taken a marketing class or, you know, something along those lines would have seen it, in the 101 unit.
It was in my pre-U A-level psychology book, a textbook. And when we learned about it, even in other courses, it seemed as if that was the thing to go for. There wasn't any sort of correction from my psychology professors. And I guess given the fact that if it's so well established in this way, I don't think any other there wouldn't really be any other questions about whether it's true or not. Though there is something to be said about the fact that it's like the tests that we take for personality, for example, are you an ENFP, the MBTIs. So it does neatly put into and try to organize what humans want, but that doesn't necessarily fit because life in general is just very chaotic and messy.
Yeah, and also it therefore shouldn't shape, I think, organizational theory. That's the main thing here. The problem that the article comes down to is that this pyramid might have affected the way we view our work. And so that's, I guess, what I'm curious about. Do you think in your company that has been the case? That, you know, there is a sense of like, ah, so long as we provide you money and the basic stuff, all that other self-actualization and all that, it's not for you, you don't need it. Talk to us. I mean, does your company prioritize that sense of purpose and belonging in the company culture? Is it something that's actually kind of important? Call us at 77-33-2900 to let us know. WhatsApp 018-789-8899 and tweet us at BFM Radio. We're going to be speaking after this with Loredana Padurian, who is the Faculty Director of Action Learning at the Asia School of Business, to understand, you know, just a bit more about this. Keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Bodacious, fabulous minds. BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's 5:12 in the evening, and you're with Lynn and Kelvin. We're talking about Maslow's pyramid or Maslow's hierarchy of needs. And the fact that it turns out we have it all wrong. It's never really been a pyramid. No one even really knows when the pyramid shape was introduced, but perhaps it's messed with our ability to understand that we need to provide, you know, a lot of things at one go, that people need their psychological needs fulfilled at the same time as their physiological needs. So we're trying to explore how that's affected our idea of work. On the line with us is Loredana Padurian, Faculty Director of Action Learning at the Asia School of Business. Loredana, how popular or relevant is Maslow's pyramid in the world of business and psychology? What function does it have?
So I think it's a popular tool, especially in psychology, marketing, and some organizational behavior. I remember studying it in my first year of college, but to be honest, never after that. I think, however, that along with many other tools and theories, it adds to the understanding of individuals. But just like any other theory, I don't think it should be taught in exclusivity or be the end all of understanding individual or collective behavior.
So the news that Maslow's pyramid is actually a misinterpretation, does that surprise you? And what did you think of it before?
So I don't know if surprise is the word that describes my reaction. I would rather say, interesting, intriguing. But in general, I am pleased when I see that every traditional taxonomy, such as Maslow's theory, gets an opportunity for interpretation. After all, if we don't challenge our ways of thinking, we would not be here today. That's how we evolve. That's how we know the world is not flat, right? So what did I think about it before? I thought it was a very commonsensical theory, which I have to admit, common sense is not that common. And building theories that achieve this level of popularity or they become viral is very hard. I think this kind of theories reach this status of popularity because they resonate to people, they are accessible, they speak to the common sense, which again is not that common. But to be honest, I never thought about it very specifically as a pyramid, but rather as a full package where, let's say, physiological and safety needs have to coexist with self-esteem, self-actualization, etc. So in general, I am pleased when I see that we challenge theories.
So one perspective here is that the pyramid's innate message has really held us back. Do you agree?
So to be honest, I don't have sufficient evidence to respond either way. But on the other hand, I do believe that when tools such as this one or any other tool or theory fall on the hands of organizations and individuals with dubious intentions, they can be used for evil, they can be used for control, they can be used for submission.
Has this created a false narrative that some people are concerned with higher or lower level needs depending on their income or professional status?
Again, I think this is very much how one chooses their own truth and what do you choose to prioritize in life. To be very honest, I know of a lot of people who have very little in terms of physiological needs, either by choice or by nature, but they are much more advanced in self-actualization. And I also know the opposite. I know people who are very financially successful, but they have a hard time reaching a higher level, if you want to quote the pyramid of needs in terms of hierarchy. So I think it's how we choose to prioritize what we believe that it is important. And at the end of the day, how do we choose to package our own life?
So do you think this whole announcement that it's been misinterpreted all these years, will it change anything? You know, for example, will this pyramid still be taught?
I hope, first of all, it will challenge. I don't know if change is going to happen, but I hope it's going to challenge. It's going to challenge the way we think about things. I think the idea that one need is inferior to another, that needs to change. And I think we have seen, and we have a time where modern management looks at all these needs much more holistically than before. So do I think that it still be taught in class or in universities? I am sure it will. But I think that some will choose it to teach it as a pyramid because in my experience, a lot of my colleagues, we have a hard time letting go of things that we have learned. But I also think that some will teach it in very different form, maybe a circle. And I think this whole debate, triggered by this article, will actually give more academics, more professors, more trainers, more students the power to challenge the form of the theory, the power to challenge the form of the pyramid. But what I hope more than anything is that it will generate debate. And this debate will continue to inform us and the world of management or psychology, because just like we have evolved our teaching in terms of geography or astronomy, like I said before, we should always evolve our management teachings as well.
So even if it doesn't change anything, why do you think we shouldn't view the structure as a pyramid?
I think there's a way of interpreting every theory. And I think, I don't really know when whoever came up with the pyramid, because I understand there's still debate about it, I don't really think that they realize that by putting it in a pyramid, they're going to create a ranking of priorities. But I do think in time, like I said before, it has been used for creating discrepancies or for creating submission or for communicating power distance or control. But I never really saw it that way. I just think of my overall life, my organizational performance and success as a much more holistic point of view. And I also think that all these needs should be a trigger for each other. You should not rely 100% or one or two and say, all right, I reached this level, I am good. It's the antithesis of evolution.
Laura Dana, thank you so much for joining us. That was Laura Dana Padurian, Faculty Director of Action Learning at the Asia School of Business. And we're talking about deconstructing the false construction of Maslow's hierarchy of needs, because it turns out that Maslow's initial theory was never meant to be read in that kind of light where, you know, first you have to fulfill basic needs before you move on to psychological and so on. And we've been asking you for your thoughts. Does it make any impact on you that we have to rethink Maslow? Do you think that your company actually provides for your self-actualizing needs as well as your basic needs? Call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio.
We have a tweet here from Un-Yi that says, why is the pyramid assumed to be for consecutive needs? No one interprets the food pyramid as meaning you can't have meat before greens.
And I think, Kelvin, you mentioned this, and it's also how I remember it. It's just how it's taught, right?
Yeah.
It's not so much that people look at the pyramid independently and go, ha, that's what that means.
And I believe in some books also, while it's still in a pyramid shape, it's often separated in space with arrows, so it points up. So after the needs of your food, then you need to feel a sense of belonging. But for the food pyramid, I've always assumed that it was taught in a way where not so much it's an upward motion with the pyramid, it's more so of the amount of and the scale of what you have to eat daily.
Yes, I was going to say exactly that. I think Uni raises an excellent point, because the thing about it is, like you said, the food pyramid is based on eat less meat than veggies. That's why
more of a weightage thing.
That's why it's scaled that way. But the thing about that point about Maslow, if you followed it the same way you follow the food pyramid, then the assumption would be that your self-esteem needs are less than your physiological needs. And that's not always the case, right? Because once your physiological needs are filled, it's like, well, perhaps, you know, my self-esteem needs or my self-actualization needs are now assuming an outsized amount of what I think about or what I strive towards. So it's really hard to say. You're right. It does not actually make sense as a pyramid.
Yeah. And maybe the image that we should be having of it, it's more like like right next to each other. So yeah. If you fulfill one, you should be able, if you're fulfilled in this area, maybe you should look at this area. Is that doing well for you? Are you, because we basically have very reptilian monkey like brains where if one area of our life isn't great, we kind of feel it, whether it's we're hangry, we're sleepy, and then we react to things negatively as well.
Well, that's true. But Maslow isn't necessarily meant to be used for personal use. You know, it's not something you have to look back and apply on yourself. It's really more to do with, you know, how to provide for people more right. so than the other way around. Maven says on Twitter, Maslow's theory may not be a pyramid, but rather that individuals have different needs. And that's what it comes down to, that at any given point, you might be wanting to fulfill different things, and they're all equally important. So keep those thoughts coming. You can call us 777-332-900. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899 and tweet us at BFM Radio. Right now, we have Aretha Franklin with Baby, I Love You, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.